Short sad stories to make you cry. An introduction. When we read or listen, words can have a transforming effect. Our mood can alter in the space of a few sentences from joy to sadness. And not just our mood. These words can affect us physically. They can engage our emotions and even in their sadness bring a lump to our throat and tears to our eyes. Sometimes the relief can be palpable. Our authors, from Anton Chekhov, Stephen Crane, Willa Cather, Catherine Mansfield, and a wealth of others are well aware of what their talents will evoke. Genius has many names.
Vanka by Anton Chekhov. Vanka Zhukov, a boy of 9, who had been for 3 months apprenticed to Alyahin the shoemaker, was sitting up on Christmas Eve. Waiting till his master and mistress and their workmen had gone to the midnight service, he took out of his master's cupboard a bottle of ink and a pen with a rusty nib, and, spreading out a crumpled sheet of paper in front of him, began writing. Before forming the first letter, he several times looked round fearfully at the door and the windows, stole a glance at the dark icon, on both sides of which stretched shelves full of lasts, and heaved a broken sigh. The paper lay on the bench while he knelt before it. "Dear Grandfather, Konstantin Makarych," he wrote, "I am writing you a letter. I wish you a happy Christmas and all blessings from God Almighty. I have neither father nor mother. You are the only one left me." Vanka raised his eyes to the dark icon on which the light of his candle was reflected and vividly recalled his grandfather, Konstantin Makarych, who was night watchman to a family called Zhivarev. He was a thin but extraordinarily nimble and lively little old man of 65, with an everlastingly laughing face and drunken eyes. By day he slept in the servants' kitchen, or made jokes with the cooks. At night, wrapped in an ample sheepskin, he walked round the grounds and tapped with his little mallet. Old Kashtanka and Eel, so called on account of his dark colour and his long body like a weasel's, followed him with hanging heads. This Eel was exceptionally polite and affectionate, and looked with equal kindness on strangers and his own masters, but had not a very good reputation. Under his politeness and meekness was hidden the most Jesuitical cunning. No one knew better how to creep up on occasion and snap at one's legs, to slip into the storeroom, or steal a hen from a peasant. His hind legs had been nearly pulled off more than once. Twice he had been hanged. Every week he was thrashed till he was half dead, but he always revived. At this moment, Grandfather was, no doubt, standing at the gate, screwing up his eyes at the red windows of the church, stamping with his high felt boots and joking with the servants. His little mallet was hanging on his belt. He was clasping his hands, shrugging with the cold, and, with an aged chuckle, pinching first the housemaid, then the cook. "How about a pinch of snuff?" he was saying, offering the women his snuff-box. The women would take a sniff and sneeze. Grandfather would be indescribably delighted, go off into a merry chuckle, and cry, "Tear it off! It has frozen on!" They give the dogs a sniff of snuff, too. Kashtanka sneezes, wriggles her head, and walks away offended. Eel does not sneeze, from politeness, but wags his tail. And the weather is glorious. The air is still, fresh, and transparent. The night is dark, but one can see the whole village, with its white roofs and coils of smoke coming from the chimneys, the trees silvered with hoar frost, the snowdrifts. The whole sky spangled with gay twinkling stars, and the Milky Way is as distinct as though it had been washed and rubbed with snow for a holiday. Vanka sighed, dipped his pen, and went on writing. "And yesterday I had a wigging. The master pulled me out into the yard by my hair and whacked me with a boot stretcher because I accidentally fell asleep while I was rocking their brat in the cradle. And a week ago the mistress told me to clean a herring, and I began from the tail end, and she took the herring and thrust its head in my face. The workmen laugh at me and send me to the tavern for vodka and tell me to steal the master's cucumbers for them, and the master beats me with anything that comes to hand, and there is nothing to eat. In the morning they give me bread, for dinner porridge, and in the evening bread again. But as for tea or soup, the master and mistress gobble it all up themselves, and I am put to sleep in the passage.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?